Hello, this is Chaz from Quiet Speculation, and you're listening to the QS Cast. If you're a QS subscriber, you're hearing this as soon as it gets published. If you're not a subscriber, you had to wait a few days. If you want to listen to the podcast as soon as it's published, or you just want to know more about Quiet Speculation, go to quietspeculation.com/tour and check out everything we have to offer. All right. So got the bot in here. Let's just going. Let's just get going. So this is kind of a new idea. I've been kind of thinking about this for a little while. I wanted to do kind of a quicker cast, very kind of laid back, more casual. That I can talk to certain insiders if they have a mind to do this. Maybe this will be more successful going forward. We can have different insiders each time. And this is as our guest Efren here, an insider at QS, has named it. It's a flashcast, which I actually kind of like. So this is a QS flashcast. It's going to be a little quicker. It's not going to be, the normal 40-ish minutes, but we're just going to try to keep it to like 20, 25 minutes and just cover, really what we deem is worth covering in that 25 minutes. So we're amidst like a lot of different things, Efren. We got Unstable, Iconic Masters released today as we were recording, 11/17. And we have, Rivals of Ixalan. We got to see a card kind of leaked out of there, out of PAX today. So we're already kind of getting a glimpse into the future. And I know this is kind of sensory overload, but, we talk a lot about different ways to go about like this kind of financial landscape, but I'd actually kind of like to just hear what you kind of do in a time like this when, it's kind of unprecedented, but there's a lot of different things going on. So what do you like to just kind of do in a time like this where there's like all these different things going on?
Right now, I'll start by saying I'm a total finance amateur. I didn't really start in doing any kind of finance until about April or something when I joined QS. Okay. So, and something like this, there was, even back in April, I think the landscape was really different than it is now. They've totally ramped up not only the number of products that they're putting out, but the reprints are crazy. And so for me personally, I've kind of scaled back. I've been doing pretty much speccing on like Pro Tour kind of stuff.
Okay.
And that's really been my target. I'm not kind of sure where to go, except, I know a lot of people are saying, well, if stuff that doesn't get reprinted, when they announce a master set, that's the kind of stuff you can get and then flip it. But, they're doing so many. And then now I saw today, you guys were talking about earlier that they have the blister packs of Iconic Masters at Walmart. So I feel like, I feel like they're just going to completely ramp up the reprints. So I feel like as someone like me, who's an amateur, that have been doing much better since I joined QS, I'm just kind of in a holding pattern right now. I've got my, I got my reserve list stuff that I've kind of been holding on to, and that's doing fine. But all these new stuff, and I'm at a point where I don't really trust that anything won't be reprinted.
Yeah. So Efren, I'm really actually really happy you decided to do this for everyone. Efren jumped on board back in April, you said, and has been an insider, very constructive, has given a lot of input, and has been a real great influence around the Discord community at QS and for insiders. So I'm kind of glad that you kind of gave some insight into what you're doing. I mean, do you play a lot, Efren? Because I know sometimes you kind of talk to that point.
I'm very casual. I've been casual since I didn't start playing till I know everyone's hyped about Dominaria, but I wasn't a Magic player back when all that was happening, although I did go back and read some of the lore. But I started playing right when the first Innistrad block came along. My nephews got me into it. So I've only been playing since then. I played Standard a lot back then, and then not knowing anything about the finance, I was hoarding all these standard cards, like a total amateur, and then all the value kind of dropped out of it, and I said, well, I don't like that. So now I pretty much just play EDH. I play Commander with my friends. We get together once or twice a month, have some drinks and play Commander. It's a lot of, we're not strict on rules. We're very casual. So that's mainly what I play. But as far as speculate, I'll spec on pretty much anything I think I can make money on.
Yeah. So this is kind of, and we'll get to your question, actually. That'll be our kind of our one question for this cast. It's a really good question, Lockheed, so I appreciate that. So to speak more to your point, Efren, I kind of feel like, you know, people, you know, and just having talks over the social airways, they're kind of having this sensory overload and questioning why Wizards is releasing so many products and if it's a bad thing. As a player, well, first of all, you know, as a person who, you know, does this as a side hustle and tries to extract value out of this game as much as I can, I just don't feel like that. Like, I never felt like they are releasing too many products. And this is coming from a person that has played the game for such a long time and has gone through so many different changes in how they release product. I get that it's kind of all coming out at the same, like, they're all kind of releasing and, you know, not very, you know, they're kind of staggered, but not very, you know, they're pretty close to each other. But I think that's a good thing when it comes to this time of the year when folks are looking for holiday gifts and what have you. And it's a good way for people to get into gaming stores, you know, at this time of the year as well, whenever, with everything being so busy. I understand the 3 blister pack at Walmart, similar to how they had the conspiracy. They have like the 3 blister pack for like $32 at Walmart. And I did not expect that. I'll just be totally honest about that. I did not expect them to have a master set at Walmart. That was kind of like a curve. Yeah,
I don't think anybody expected that. I think it caught everybody off guard, especially store owners and, you know, people that rely on that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I don't know if it was public knowledge. I kind of got a couple of tweets there that said I thought this was public knowledge. If it was, I was not aware of it. So if it was public knowledge, I apologize. But, you know, I don't think that really, like, you can't. What are you going to, like, you're going to buy them at Walmart and open them. Like, you're not going to buy 3 packs at Walmart and then take it to your LGS and draft. I mean, I know some gaming stores do that, but not many I know. So people are still going to go to the local gaming stores and sit and draft and do whatever.
I think the concern is that people might have bought packs from stores before and gone home to draft, because I know the conspiracy one day on the, I haven't seen in detail the Iconic Masters, but the other one said they were, it was a draft pack, didn't it? Wasn't pitching it as that?
Yeah, I think it's like 3 packs.
Yeah, I don't know if it says on Iconic Masters, but they always say these master sets are made for drafting, so maybe that's what their idea was.
Yeah. So, but again, I don't think it's really going to take away a lot from local gaming stores. So I think that's being blown out of proportion a little bit. You know, and then I don't know. We're talking about Explorers of Ixalan, which really, who does that really, like, appeal to? I mean, it's kind of a casual thing. There are a couple decent reprints in there, but nothing too crazy. And then we have dual deck Goblins versus Merfolk, and there's like a couple decent reprints in there. I would think it's barely even the $20 worth. So, you know, I think people are just kind of looking for, you know, something to complain about on this one and looking to point the fingers back at Wizards when I honestly think they've been doing a great job at trying to promote the product and get the product out there, expand the game and get the, you know, the inventory of staples out there. Because I mean, look how many times did Tarmogoyf have to be reprinted and still like a $50-$60 card. So I think people are just kind of blowing this out of proportion. And for us, I mean, we talk about this with vendors all the time. You know, reprints sometimes are a blessing in disguise, where, you know, a $20 card that people are on the fence about buying, they don't normally, you know, buy them, they kind of sit in the inventory for a little while, would easily buy them at $10. And I think buying, you know, having so much product of Iconic Masters being out there, I think is going to be a good thing down the road when you can find these kind of staples of, you know, modern staples. I don't know about stuff like Mana Drain, but modern staples, which all they need is to be in like a new tier type deck, and the prices just explode again.
Well, I think, are you saying the, like, the blister pack is being blown out of proportion, or just the overabundance?
Just like just the overabundance of product and Iconic Masters and just in general. I think it's just being blown out of proportion.
Well, as far as stores go, I guess part of what you would do at a store would be finance considered, but for me, it's kind of had the opposite effect with me, because I'm the kind of guy where I always like to buy a new set. I'll buy a fat pack or buy a box, and
okay,
I'll buy the supplemental things. Like, I used to like to collect the dual decks because, you know, when my friends or, you know, family come over, we'll pull them out and play, and they're easy. You know, their decks already made. But right now, there's so much stuff that I don't know if it's the paradox of choice, like they call it, but I don't really know what I want to buy. I say, well, there's all this stuff, and I know I don't want to buy Explorers of Ixalan. I agree with you on that. But for me, I'm just kind of sitting back and saying, you know, where do I put my money here? I'm not even sure.
Well, what has been successful, I think, is there's another pre-order period coming around, you know, again, and a new set. Those normally are pretty lucrative. You know, whether you know, those cards end up being something down the line or something like that is debatable. But normally new sets are pretty good in terms of, you know, looking for something to invest in or, you know, try to get some value out of underpriced cards during the pre-order period. But for now, I think the best way, you know, sometimes, you know, making money is not spending anything and that ultimately you save money. I wouldn't touch Iconic Masters for a while. And I certainly wouldn't touch anything from Unstable or anything like that. And it's kind of a shame because, you know, I've been sitting on the sidelines for Unstable and like, yeah, it's great and all. And I never really was into the Unstable set or the Unsets rather. I think I played like one Unhinged draft.
Yeah, I wasn't around at all for those. So this all.
Yeah, and I wasn't really around. Like I kind of was around for Unhinged or Unglued.
I think if it wasn't for the lands, I probably wouldn't even know about them.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what it boils down to. But I mean, the problem is like, I don't even really feel like this is an unset. And I kind of hate to say it, but this almost just kind of felt like a conspiracy set, which with like a couple of jokey cards and it's all silver bordered. You know, I think this actually could have passed for a real set.
I think so, too. I know I've seen a couple ones that I said, you know, that I would like to play Commander, would be build a Commander deck around. That one that combines creatures out of the graveyard, that seems really fun and interesting to make a Commander deck out of.
Yeah, I was writing down some notes. I think the article is going to go up on Monday. I think it's going to be a free article. It's just kind of, it's nothing really too intense in terms of finance. It's just kind of recapping everything with Unstable so far. And I tweeted this out. I think it would have been better if the set was black bordered. You know, they have at least the legendary creatures. You know, I know some of them are a little weird, but I think they could have been changed just slightly and they all could have been legal. Like, I actually wish the legendary creatures in Unstable were black bordered. That would have been pretty awesome.
Yeah, some of the ones I've seen, I agree with that. They'd be really great.
Yeah. So other than that, I mean, there's nothing else really crazy going on. We're kind of in like this fluctuation state of being, you know, standard is kind of where it is. It's not really doing anything crazy. There's not many opportunities there. Modern season is coming up though with a Pro Tour. I mean, it's not too far, but I mean, at this point, you know, you should start looking for staples, you know, undercosted staples, maybe staples that were just reprinted to kind of keep an eye on them. And, you know, because once Modern Season ramps back up, it does have its own Pro Tour. I think we're going to start seeing some pretty big price increases. And then, you know, we start the whole cycle all over again where people are complaining about the high price tags of Modern cards.
Well, is the Modern Pro Tour before or after M25 or Modern Masters 25?
I think it's before. Don't quote me, but okay. I think it's before.
I thought so, too. I wasn't sure.
Yeah,
because that would have been a complete game changer.
Yeah,
but yeah, I know I see from other insiders they're stocking up on you know, Modern staples, lands, fetches, and stuff like that.
Yeah,
they say it all ramps up in January. Like, this is my first year taking it seriously, so you know, I trust a lot of the insiders in here with that kind of advice.
Yeah, they, you know, everyone in, you know, around here kind of knows what they're doing. So when the general consensus of this Discord is do something, it's probably a good idea. but yeah, I mean, it's going to be some pretty great opportunities, especially some Iconic Masters cards. But you can even go back to like the previous, what was it, Modern Masters 2017. At this point, I mean, you can probably start snatching up some pretty cheap stuff or stuff that hasn't been reprinted at all. I mean, Scapeshift hasn't been reprinted. I know it's kind of expensive, but hasn't been reprinted. Through the Breach really hasn't had its own reprinting outside of an invocation. So I know it's a higher buy-in, but I think those cards are where you should start looking. The lower purchase, the lower buy-in, the better, especially if they haven't been reprinted at all. So we're kind of near, when did we start this? We started at 7:25. So we got about another 10 minutes or so. So I think that's a good enough time to talk about what Lockheed asked us, Efren. So I think it's good to kind of get both of our opinions on this. So I have $1,000 to reinvest while I'm still here at the GP. What should I be looking for the best value in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months? Well, if you're going super long term, I know you already have a metric ton of Yavimaya Hallows, but I mean, just cards like that. I mean, how do you go? You don't really go wrong with a card like that.
That's the reserve list one, right?
Yeah, that is the reserve list one.
Yeah, that would have been my. That's the only safe bet for me at this point.
Yeah, that's really the only safe thing at this point. Maybe undercosted. Like, you can start looking at the undercosted. You know, we talked about this maybe 2 months back, a little bit before the vendor series, and then kind of like before the Pro Tours, like maybe a month before the Pro Tour and all this stuff, maybe a little bit longer than that. But Tarkin and I talked a lot about the invocations. There's still some pretty undercosted ones. You know, one that, you know, leapt out to me, and it, you know, I'm kind of versed in 1v1 commander, was Mind Twist. It's its only other printing, and it actually looks really sweet. So, you know, stuff like that, I think, is pretty good.
I'm pretty sure that BioSpark in our chat gave me that tip too when it was printing, because that's the only foil printing of it, also, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the only foil printing. But yeah, Lockheed, I don't see any going, like, there's nothing wrong, especially for super long term. I mean, as crazy as, I mean, as duh and like obvious as it is, it's like reserve list stuff. I mean, you're not going to go wrong there, even if they're kind of sitting there for a while. Super short term, I think there's still some value left on the table in Ixalan. Like, I know that's crazy, but you know, even Vraska kind of went up to like $25 during the Pro Tour and maybe for like a week after, but that's already back down to like its pre-inflated price. Like, I see them on social media outlets already back to like 12, 15 bucks. So I have to believe there's some value left in Ixalan. If anything, and other than that, I would just wait for Rivals. Or if you're going to hold on, I don't know if they're like opening a ton of Iconic Masters at the GP, but I would pick up some undercosted Modern staples. Let me just pull up Iconic Masters here for a second. I always forget like what's in this set. let's see. What do we got? Foils. I like all the new dragons. Foils of those should be okay. I think Ancestral Visions might rebound, just because it's a pretty ubiquitous card, and it sees play in both some commander formats like 1v1 and in Modern. So that, I mean, it's just kind of like floating around at like $20 or something like that, $20-25. Ooh, I love Null Rod. In fact, I actually bought a couple Null Rods the other day. I needed one for 1v1 commander. I needed one for Gitrog, so I grabbed a couple of those. It was actually funny because I, you know, the only thing my brother has played for Magic is 1v1 commander. And he sent me a text like 2 or 3 days ago, and he's like, "Do we need? Did we ever pick up an extra Yawgmoth's Will and a Time Spiral?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, we might want to pick up a couple extra of those just in case." So it's always kind of weird when people are, especially him, were like text me to buy reserve list cards. And damn it, I said I wasn't going to talk about this.
You can't escape it. You can't escape Sigmund, the reserve list.
Sigmund always messing things up. What else is in this set? Sarah Ascendant, but I don't know if like that's, I don't know if that's really like worthwhile. I don't know at this point. Like, maybe Aether Vial. I'd keep an eye on Aether Vial. I'd keep an eye on Horizon Canopy and Grove, especially if they unban something like Punishing Fire. That would be insane, because immediately people are going to be buying Grove. So that would be on my radar for sure. And I like all the new Dragon Legends, at least foils. Original OG Thought Seize is $28 buy list. Iconic Masters is an 11. Stockwatch said hold. Yeah, I would probably still hold Thoughtseize. I know it's like it's its third printing now, but for some reason, I mean, folks just do not go for the Theros version. They just do not go for that one. So I would probably keep that, the Iconic Masters one, especially for the art.
Is it really only 11? I might grab some. That's cheap.
Yeah, the buy list for Iconic Masters Thought Seizes 11. That is pretty cheap. Yeah, I can't see that not rebounding. But there is going to be a ton of them, so I think I would wait a little bit. So if you have them, I think you should hold them. If you don't have them, I would wait to purchase them. You know, try to find good deals on that. No, TCG is 11. Oh, okay. Wow. That is pretty cheap.
That is really low.
Yeah, that is low.
I'm definitely going to get some.
That's definitely going to dip below 10. Wow. That seems wrong. If those start dipping below 10, I'm grabbing some for sure. That seems pretty low. At least for Thoughtseize. Yeah. If anything, that seems like the card that seems the most incorrect is Thoughtseize at like $10 or less. Anything else? We're kind of getting towards that time. Oh, Sir Seeger, isn't Mind Twist banned in 1v1? It is on MTGO. It is banned on MTGO. It is not banned in paper 1v1. If you follow the original, like kind of the 1v1 where it was derived from is French Commander. It was unbanned pretty recently. So and it's been included ever since, which, you know, makes sense because it's a really busted card. But yeah, I think we have a lot of things. We kind of covered a lot of things in a very short amount of time. So I think overall takeaway from this podcast is stay away from unstable. Like, yeah, the lands are selling for $5. You know, there's going to be a ton of them. It's just a different landscape now. When Unhinged came out, you know, full art lands were not really like a thing. And, you know, since then, I mean, I was reminded that Unhinged was like 12 years ago. Gosh. But since then, I mean, there's been so many different promo lands and full art lands and Rebecca Guay lands. And there's just so many different choices now that I can't see them sticking at $5 a piece.
So you do think the unstable, they're going to drop?
Yeah, definitely. The foils will definitely be, they will definitely start high and not drop. I doubt they'll drop much.
What about what about the foil tokens?
Tokens can be foil. I think Meryl confirmed that, right?
Aren't they? I thought I read there was a foil token in each pack, or was that wrong?
I'm this is the first I'm hearing this. There's foil tokens in every pack. If there's foil tokens in every pack, then they probably won't be much. If there is, someone can obviously chime in, definitely even after the podcast. But I wouldn't even touch the tokens, to be honest with you. But I know for sure the foil lands normally start pretty high and they don't drop very much. I still have a foil, my last foil, Unhinged Island, and I think it's dropped maybe $5 in 12 years. You know, I think they always were like in the 60-70 range. So, you know, I don't know. I think you can still get something close to that. So over that span of time, they don't drop very much.
Yeah, I'm looking on Mythic Spoiler. It looks like there's a foil token in each pack and they're full art.
Oh, so there is a foil token in each pack. All right. So, I mean, you could still probably disregard those two.
Really? You think they'll be cheap?
Yeah, the foil tokens. I mean, I don't know. Maybe keep an eye on the Voice of Resurgence token. I would keep your eye on the Voice of Resurgence token.
I love that they reprinted that token. They're determined to run Dragon's Maze into the ground as much as possible.
Gosh, what a horrible set. Any last things from anyone? Even you, Efren? Any last kind of topics or thoughts before we wrap things up here?
The only other thing that I've heard of as a decent investment, and the guy that gave me the tip is probably going to kill me because he's trying to get a full set of each one, is the 7th edition foils. What do you think about 7th edition foils?
7th ed foils. Wait, just any 7th ed foil?
Yeah, he said they're some, you know, and I don't know if he knows
what they're pretty scarce. He's about.
That's why
they're
I'm asking. Pretty scarce. Yeah, they're like some of the rarest Magic cards after Alpha and Beta.
Yeah, 7th ed foils were always pretty rare. Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, I know the cards that are obviously sought after are easily, like, they're easily liquid. Some of the other stuff, like, I mean, like, isn't like even like Reprisal in there and stuff like that, or there's like just random stuff in there. I don't know how easy that is to sell. Like, if you're buying because you want to own them, I think now is better than later, as you know, considering they're just only going to get more rare. But if you're buying to try and flip them, like, I don't know how like how much demand is there for like the random seventh edition uncommon or common? That's kind of like where I'm at with that. Like obviously you have like birds and stuff like that. That's, you know, there's a lot of demand for that. I see those sell pretty easily at the right price. But for other stuff, like I just don't know if you want random seventh edition foils just sitting around.
Okay, so even though they're rare, you don't see them following
the way
they got the beta and alpha lands are going up right now, everything.
Yeah, because I mean those are lands, they kind of have something attached to it, like the beta lands, they kind of have like this other value attached to it. Random seventh edition rare, like rares maybe, but like even commons and uncommons, I just don't know like how much demand there is. It's one thing if something is rare, but there has to be at least some sort of demand. Now, that's not to say like someone will come along and buy them, but you have to weigh that risk of just having it just sit in your inventory for X amount of time. Like if you're going in knowing that, then by all means, but I would just think that those are just going to be sitting in your inventory for quite some time.
Okay, thank you. I didn't know anything about it, so I'm glad that.
Yeah. It was a really good question. Yeah, those are pretty rare. How is selling to Trollen told? Anyone can chime in. So Temho, I heard that they're infinitely better in person. And you know, selling to them online, you know, your experience may vary. Sometimes they're very quick and painless. Other times it can be a fiasco. So yeah, I don't deal with Trollen told that much. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, it's like this hit and miss thing with them online. But I heard in person they're much better. So whatever that means. All right, Efren. Right. I think we're gonna wrap it up, folks. Thank you. I really like the pacing and the format of this. So hopefully this can grow into something. Hopefully a couple other of you would like to step up and be a guest next time. Efren, thanks so much. I know it's kind of very last second. I appreciate it.
Thanks. It was fun. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for being an insider. It's really fun.
It's been great for me.
Yeah. Awesome. Mostly, yeah. Huh?
I said mostly great.
Yeah. All right, folks. Thanks and have a good one. Enjoy your weekend. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, Jess.